Kurt Carlson's story is a classic tale, an immigrant son seizing newfound American opportunity.
Prophets are important because they are the scorekeeper.
Carlson's eye for profits showed itself early. He was a 9-year-old country club caddy who by 11 was putting together a network of newspaper delivery boys. Carlson spoke at length about his life with Minnesota Public Radio 2.5 years before his death.
One time the old Minneapolis Journal had a contest on for us to go out and get new customers. And I attended the Saturday meetings that we'd have once a month with our supervisor from the paper. And I asked him if I got him 4 customers, could I have the route? And he said, you give me 4 customers and you got it. I went and got a couple relatives and I got the route. When the second one opened, he gave me the second route and I got a third route. And I've had my 2 brothers carry those and I paid them for it and I got a little over, right?
To Carlson, business was in his genes. At home, there was no such thing as an allowance. Instead, a get-out-and-work-for-what-you-want philosophy prevailed. If that sounds harsh, to Carlson, it was appropriate.
I did find that in the depths of the Depression, I'm talking now about the early 30s, and there was 25% unemployment in this country then, that there was all kinds of work. The people that I was peddling the papers to, they all wanted their gardens spaded up. They all wanted to have somebody cut their lawns and so forth. You didn't get a lot of money for it. But labor at that time made 25 cents an hour. So you see, it wasn't a lot of money, but your money went a long ways.
Carlson graduated from the University of Minnesota in 1937 and began selling soap and cooking oil for Procter & Gamble. With America still stinging from the Depression, his sales job was good by any measure, but he wanted his own business. In 1938, Carlson left Procter & Gamble and formed the Gold Bond Stamp Company with a $55 loan from his landlord and a line of credit from a local printer. Carlson's idea was that businesses could foster customer loyalty by rewarding patrons with stamps they in turn could collect and redeem for merchandise. Even his father's banker turned down his loan application, calling the stamp idea harebrained.
I got turned down for a loan there, but I learned something. That's the last people to go to is a bank if you don't have any money. You got to have money to go to a bank. And I went to the guy. This is all printing. I went to a printer, told him I could be a good customer. If he would do this, I'd have his money to him within 90 days or 120 days, and I'd continue to do business with him. He did the whole thing for me, and I was off and running.
By the end of World War II, millions of people were collecting Carlson stamps from thousands of businesses around the country. Their popularity peaked in the 1960s. Carlson then directed his energy and growing financial resources toward the hospitality industry with the purchase of the original Radisson Hotel in downtown Minneapolis. He began acquiring hundreds of restaurants and hotels and networks of travel agencies. His businesses grew phenomenally. In 1997, Carlson Brands, from Radisson Hotels to TGI Fridays Restaurants and Carlson Vaughan Lee Travel Agencies, raked in $20 billion in sales. Carlson Enterprises, most of them franchises, did business in more than 140 countries and employed nearly 150,000 people.
The best business advice I ever got was that I picked up immediately. That's when I was a fairly young fellow, and one of my customers in the paper made a statement to me. He had a drugstore. And he said to me, you know, Kurt, I work 6 days. And he said, I feel that 5 days is when I stay even. It's the 6th day when I get ahead, and I never forgotten that. And all practically all my life, Saturdays was my day to get ahead.
Carlson became one of the wealthiest men in the country. Forbes last estimated his net worth at $1.6 billion. Known for his success in business, Carlson will also be remembered for his philanthropy. Over the past nearly five decades, he personally donated more than $36 million to the University of Minnesota. Carlson also believed corporations had a responsibility to the communities in which they did business. In the mid-1970s, Carlson Companies joined 21 other Minnesota businesses in pledging to contribute 5% of pre-tax earnings to charity. Greco Chairman David Koch was president of the Minneapolis Chamber of Commerce at the time. Koch was among a handful of executives leading the push to recruit 5% donor companies.
We always are looking for leaders and for champions in a community. And Kurt, obviously starting very modestly with his business and growing it into the kind of international global company that exists today, and yet continuing to be interested, active, and involved in the community is a wonderful example for a lot of other entrepreneurs.
Kurt Carlson remained at the helm of Carlson Companies until the spring of 1998, when daughter Marilyn Carlson Nelson took over. The transformation was timed to coincide with the company's 60th anniversary.
I've never seen a man who makes the demands of what he needs from his people, but has such a marshmallow side to him when it comes to humanity.
Minnesota financier Irwin Jacobs says he'll remember Kurt Carlson as a visionary who successfully tapped the market of the masses through hard work and good ideas. Jacobs also says Carlson, who's normally associated with amassing wealth, placed an enormous premium on his family.
I've seen him socially, and I've seen him community-wise and business-wise and family-wise. And I see how important his family is to him. And, you know, they say the true fortune of any man is the family that he's built around him. And I think that starting with the family of the Carlson family, what Kurt's created around there is really his greatest fortune. He is going to be greatly missed based on what he's done to leave his legacy here.
When Kurt Carlson's father was dying, he mused to his son he could not give him the world, but Kurt could instead have the United States as his sales territory. In the final days of his life, Carlson could have told his daughter, Marilyn Carlson Nelson, now head of the global hospitality superpower by her father's name, he leaves to her the world as her territory. This is Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio.